against the God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes to the morning.
Glory. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Merciful God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross that he might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to himself. Grant that we who glory in his death for our redemption may faithfully heed his call to bear the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been come scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word.
Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word.
My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes.
My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right.
Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts.
I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight.
Let my soul live and praise you, and let your just decrees help me.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the first chapter. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident statements. Now, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and their mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God, for with which I have been entrusted. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are believing in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus said, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And likewise, at the end of the parable of the lost coin, "Just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is our text. There is something strange in having a gospel reading where the main theme is joy at the end of a week like this one. The world is out of joint and disordered. And it's not like we needed another reminder of that, but we received one. The Charlie Kirk shooting and response, the 24th anniversary of 9/11. This week, many people have seen and heard things that no one should ever see and hear. And I don't just mean the people who were there. I mean the curiosity that led us to click on videos that we shouldn't see. Curiosity can do a lot of damage. It can even be sinful. And it seems to me, and I suspect to many of you at least, that the shadow of death hangs over the land like a burial shroud. And we wonder, where's it going to happen next? And who's it going to be? The darkness may seem thick and heavy, suffocating and overwhelming. What do we do? Where do we go? To whom can we turn? Well, we've come here. And for many of us, coming here is nothing new. We've been doing it for years and years. It's our reflex, it's our habit, it's our training. We come here every week. This is who we are. This is what we do. This service, this word, this holy meal, this forgiveness, this messy community of sinners. This is the breath of life and sanity and hope that we need to keep going. A light shines in the darkness, and here we see the light burn brightly. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light no darkness can overcome. O Lord, let your light scatter the darkness and illumine your church. And yet for some of you, this might be new. As in, you've been here before a couple of times, but you're still getting used to the singing and the standing. Or maybe it's your very first time, and you're not quite sure what you've stepped into. And that's okay. Welcome. Whoever you are, and whatever your reasons, we're glad you're here. You don't have to understand all of this today. Just listen and let what you're seeing and you're hearing soak in. And then come grab a cup of coffee downstairs afterwards and ask someone whatever's on your mind. What the world needs and what we need is a shepherd. Someone who can tend and care for the sheep. Someone to protect and heal them. Someone to search for them and save them. Someone to stretch out his arms and gather them under the shelter of his wings. And God knows the world isn't providing. Not every shepherd is able to do that. There are other kinds of shepherds out there. There are false shepherds and self-serving shepherds. Don't follow them. This week I met a fellow pastor down in northern Connecticut. It was the halfway point for us to meet. We're sitting outside a coffee shop in Vernon, Connecticut, that I just picked out as the midpoint for us. And a woman walks past and says, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And she apologized about 15 times, even after we asked her just to sit down with us. This woman has a 15-year-old son who recently discovered the Bible and is reading it. And this woman's kind of happy and excited about it and kind of nervous about what he might find as he goes around searching. I think because she has a sense, even though she's hardly a Christian yet, but she has a sense that there might be a true shepherd, but there might be a lot of false shepherds out there. Thankfully, we were able to point her to a church that we know where Jesus Christ is the shepherd. But there are a lot of false shepherds, a lot of voices that will attract attention, that will not lead us in any way that is good. In Jesus' day, some of those false shepherds were the Pharisees and the scribes. They grumbled, saying about Jesus, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." When they watched what Jesus did, they were scandalized and offended by the company that he keeps, by the people he welcomes, and by the sinners that they saw drawing near to him. What was Jesus like? I don't know if I've thought about this before, but the image that came to my mind was that Jesus is like a magnet for sinners. A magnet for sin. Wherever he goes, he's pulling that sin out of the darkness toward himself. He's attracting the least and the lowliest, the outcast, and the unwanted. And the Pharisees couldn't believe it. Just who were the Pharisees and the scribes? They were the people who know the rules and love the rules. I say that as someone who is a bit of a rule follower myself. Now, there's no problem with knowing and loving the rules, especially if the things we're talking about are what God calls right and wrong. May we all be zealous for his word. May we all love what he loves, and may we all avoid what he condemns. But the Pharisees and the scribes were also proud of their own rule-keeping. They were proud of their own righteousness. They were the sort of people who not only knew the rules and kept the rules, but also patted themselves on the back for doing it. They thought more highly of themselves, more highly of their cause than of others. And in so doing, they caused harm to the weak and to the hurting. They were the ones who would have said to the sinners who were drawing near, not for you, not your kind, not your type, at least not the way that you are now. They would have turned sinners away. I picture Pharisees at their worst as the sort of people who delight in the suffering and humiliation of others and who also envy others when they receive any good. And those temptations are very close to us. I think not only for us as Christians, but for us as a nation, that we are at a point where it can turn in a direction of repentance, of seeking the good of others, or it can turn even darker and deeper, rejoicing in the downfall of those who are on the other side. God, spare us from that. But there is another shepherd, not like the Pharisees and the scribes. The shepherd that we heard about in the parable, he does exactly what's needed. He's the kind of shepherd who's willing to leave the 99 righteous, but he's also especially willing to go after the one who is lost. And he goes after it, and he finds it, and he picks it up, and he lays it on his own shoulders. I raised a lamb 2 years for 4-H, and I can tell you this, I never would have wanted to carry that lamb on my shoulders. If it had gotten lost and I would have had to pick it up, maybe grabbing a tractor, but bearing the burden myself, no. But this shepherd does. He bears the weight. He takes the burden of that sheep's wandering and its pain and its shame and its humiliation, and then he brings it home. And did you notice, while the scribes and Pharisees are grumbling, the shepherd in that parable, what is his attitude toward doing this? No grumbling, no complaining. He does it with joy. With joy, bearing the burden of sinners and bringing them home. And like I said, that's a bit of a surprising and unexpected word today. God made a tremendous promise. In the first reading we heard today, when he knew that there were so many false shepherds who wouldn't bear the burden, who wouldn't lead his people in the truth, God made a promise. He said, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them. I will bring them back. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land. I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord, and I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." Jesus came to be that shepherd. He is the good and noble shepherd. He's the kind of shepherd who doesn't run away to save his own skin, and he certainly won't leave his sheep facing darkness, the darkness of sin or death or hell. He faces it for them, and he faces it with them, and he faces it in them. And that's so important for us to remember. He leads through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know what lies on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death? It's the brightness of a life that never ends. And he's the one who takes us through that valley. And he willingly lays down his life for the sheep, for each and every single one of them. Even for you, and even for me. And if there's one message that we could communicate to the world today, I think it would be that. Be the message that Jesus is the shepherd who has laid down his life in order to rescue and save each and every single person. And there are too many dark corners where that word is not heard. And we've got it. So let's make it known. This man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and the scribes considered that statement a slur. To them, it was a badge of shame and proof that Jesus was up to no good. But that's not how Jesus heard those words. When they said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them," Jesus said, "You got it right, buddy. That's exactly what I do. That's the kind of man I am. I'm man enough to eat with sinners and to receive them. I'm man enough not to be threatened by their sin. I can take it. I can take all of it. The sin of these sinners and of you Pharisees and scribes and all the rest. So bring the sinners with their sin. Pile it up," he says, "and put it all on my back. I'll carry their stuff." You heard a list of those things in 1 Timothy chapter 1. "I'll carry the stuff. I'll carry the dirt, the shame, the scandal, the hatred, the anger, the fear, the doubt, the hidden things. Bring it all here to me." And you know what I call that? I call that a beautiful thing. St. Paul says the same He says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. You don't have to call me a sinner and wave my sin in my face. I'll call myself a sinner. I've already done it. Some of it I know and am ashamed of, and some of it I don't even know. But I know that it's big, and I know that it's serious. How do I know that? Because of what Jesus had to do to take my sin away. When it came to take my sin away, Jesus didn't just show up with a shovel and a cart and say, I'll take care of it. He didn't bring a backhoe and a dump truck to take care of my sin. You know what he brought? He brought a cross. That's what he brought. He used a cross, and he put his whole self into it. Head and neck and shoulders and arms and torso and pelvis and thighs and legs and feet. His whole self. He laid on the cross for me and for you, my Lord and my God. What does the world need? What do we need? We don't need violence. We don't need war. We don't need anger. We don't need fear. We certainly don't need to engage online. We need repentance, to turn from our sin in sorrow. Our sin, not the sins of others. I've got plenty, and so do you. And to turn toward our shepherd with relief. To say to him, you mean I don't have to carry my own sin and shame and anger and fear? And he just looks at you and says, no, you don't. I've taken care of it myself. So rather than indulging your curiosity and reading yet one more article or listening to another podcast or watching the latest talking heads, what do we do with a week like this? We pause and we pray. At our church council meeting yesterday, it was mentioned that on Facebook, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had a post this week that said, pray the litany. I kind of wish I'd put that one up. Pray the litany. If you don't know what the litany is, we'll talk about that when we come to Bible class after service, but it's on page 110 of the Lutheran hymnal in front of you, or not now, later. You can Google the Litany Lutheran Service Book, and it'll pop right up. Pray it. The first thing we do is we turn on the news. We open up the podcast feed. We see what the latest talking heads are saying. Our first thing should be to pray. Pray it more than once. Pray it each day if you need to. Pray it until that prayer lives inside your bones. And remember what Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the world we find darkness, but in the kingdom of God there's great joy. What kind of joy? Joy over each and every sinner who repents. Joy in heaven and joy on earth over every sinner who is found and comes home. I don't know, 160 of us here right now? Joy 160 times in heaven and joy for us as well? And if Jesus is the shepherd who seeks and rescues the sheep, then who is the woman that holds up the lamp to give light in the darkness while she's searching for the lost coin? Could that woman be a picture of the church? Are we the ones who sweep the house looking for the lost coin and then invite others to rejoice with us when it's found? Do we hold up the light of Christ so that the darkness is scattered and what is hidden is seen? The world only sees darkness But we see the shepherd. And because we see the shepherd and the woman, we know the joy. And that's what you're invited into today. The joy of Jesus and the joy of the church. The joy of his forgiveness and the joy of a life that never ends, not even when it ends here. The joy of a salvation that's eternal and a love that is deep. And that's how we live. How we live through this brief darkness. That's how we live through this brief darkness, as boldly and joyfully as Jesus carried his cross, by searching for the little lost lambs, putting them on his back, and bringing them home. Jesus is the shepherd who has come for you and for me, and for such a time as this. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty, and bring to an end the violence in our land, and grant your protection to all who suffer threats, especially to children in schools and their teachers, and Christians and others. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless our homes and families, and be with all expectant mothers and the children they carry, including Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. We thank you for the gift of a newborn daughter, Magdalena Grace, to Daniel and Rachel. Keep this child and the Patterson family in your care. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be with Grace and the medical mission team in Madagascar. Keep them safe in their travels. Bless them with strength and good health. And through their serving, provide for the physical needs of many and glorify the name of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, chronic illness and pain, or any other adversity, especially Paul as he undergoes surgery, Dave as he begins his chemo infusions, Anita as her health fails, Joyce in her recovery and move, Melinda suffering from sickness, and Brent for help and care in his time of need. We thank you for hearing our prayers for Bruce and ask for ongoing healing for him. We also commend into your hands Diane, Marilyn, Lori, Hope, Julian, Jared, Donna, John, Lori, and Evan, and Claudette. Lord, in your mercy. We pray that you would look with mercy upon those who are living in darkness, and we ask that you would turn their hearts from the evil one and draw them to repent in repentance and faith to yourself. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of
Oh, daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Reading today is from Galatians and 1 Corinthians. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I the world. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs, and the Greeks see wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who call, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sicknesses, and trials with patience and trust, until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.